Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Babe, did you see that Moto Casino is giving a $1,776,000 worth of prizes?
That's why they're called America's Social Casino, celebrating the birth of America bigger than anyone else.
You can win incredible experiences at NASCAR and F1 races and a grand prize of 1 million sweeps coins.
So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Elijah Campbell, manning things at our Hillside Medical Game Studios. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Predators in Los Angeles. That's where Willie is currently, and they will be taking on the Kings. And you can hang out our Bud Light watch party at Headquarters Beercade. I'll tell you more in just a bit, but right now Mike Vrabel is talking, and this is sponsored by Tire Man. Let's hear what he has to say.
Just to see how he responds and ask him to start doing, you know, some of those things that he's going to need to do in the football game. I mean, no different than what we've done with any other guy that's, you know, come back from, you know, the injured reserve and as they start their return to play.
At this point of the season, how challenging is it with what you're able to do on the practice field, pad limitations and things like that, as opposed to game reps? How challenging is that balance for a player?
I think would say depending on the position, I think that certainly is something that you'd have to look at. Maybe the position of the player plays, whether it's at the line of scrimmage, receiver. And so we'd have to just monitor those things and try to recreate what they're going to be asked to do in the game as closely as we possibly can.
How excited, Mike, do you think he is to kind of be at this part of the process, and how much of the overplay?
I don't know. I'm not going to speak for his excitement. I'm excited. I can speak on my excitement to coach this football team, to have a chance to go on the road and do everything we can to try to win. That's what I'll speak on.
Can you comfortably recreate things for him here as opposed to maybe getting him touches in this game if you decide to go that way?
I'm not sure what comfortably means, but I think that we'll try to do everything we can, you know, for the players that are coming back to try to recreate, to give them, again, the confidence and the trust that they can, you know, go out there and do their job. We try to do that, with every player that's returning.
When you're weighing all of this out as far as his return is concerned, how much does the playing surface come into play, whereas, you know, like field turf versus natural grass?
I think there's a lot of factors that go into, decisions that we make. Anything on the Texans?
How much different are the Texans now compared to when you saw them?
Well, there's a few players that have changed. Obviously, the quarterback's changed. Burkhead, Rex has been getting the bulk of the carries. Rely heavily on the skill set of Cooks. Defense is fast, and they create a lot of turnover. So, as we know firsthand.
You mentioned Cooks and his skill set. What is it about it? Because it seems like whoever, regardless of who his quarterback is,
he's
a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah, he's he just has the ability to, I guess the skill set and the player always wins out, no matter who's throwing to him or what team, what helmet he's wearing. He isn't a big player, but he's got speed, and I think he's got really good play strength. He does a great job of creating penalties down the field or catching those deep passes. So, it'll be critical that we try to do everything we can to defend him.
Was wondering if you had any response to the charge against Bud and what that could mean for him moving forward.
Obviously we're all aware of it. We'll continue to monitor it. And, like always, we try to do everything we can to help our guys make great decisions on and off the field. And, that's my response. We'll continue to monitor it, communicate with Bud, and, see how everything will eventually play out.
big of a difference from the last game? You now have Zach Cunningham on your side of the defense rather than on the other side of the field. How, with his growth and grasp of the defense so quickly, how much of a difference can that make in this game?
Well, I don't think that defensively, you know, we just turned the ball over the last game. You know, Zach's going to try to do everything he can to help us, whether that be left tackle on the punt team, playing special teams or playing defense for us. You know, this is about, you know, where we are in our 17th game and about the things that we're trying to improve on and continue to make our charge to play our best football down the stretch.
How much has Ben been kind of the glue that's held the offensive line together this year through a whole lot of...
Well, I think that since the time that Ben's, you know, come into the league, I think that's always been something that he's, you know, whether that was in Houston when I was around him or here, you know, Ben loves football. Ben loves, you know, his teammates. He does whatever, you know, he can do to help the team. And a large part of that is making sure that everybody up there is on the same page, you know, trying to execute whatever scheme that we're trying to do.
You mentioned the challenge of, you know, we asked you about the challenge of dealing with Derek's decision. Going in with a chance to get the one seed, to bye, what factors do you think of? You know, Chiefs play the night before or the day before. You'll kind of know what your status is when you kick off on Sunday. Do you think about trying to rest players or, with a chance at a bye, play starters longer? There's an awful lot of math.
I think that winning takes care of everything. That's the one thing that I've learned since you know, I've been in sports or athletics, is that winning usually takes care of everything.
Do you have a unique or special message this week, different from other weeks?
Winning takes care of everything.
You mentioned the turnovers in the last game. This is something you've said the team emphasizes every week. Is at this point, do you even need to say anything more about that?
I probably don't, but I do. Just to show them the difference, the way that, you know, when you possess the football, you know, that you can turn drives into points. And, you know, if we're not able to score touchdowns, we can, you know, rely on Randy to give us some points. And, you know, when you force turnovers defensively, it creates short fields for the offense. And we're doing those in both of those phases. We did that in the special teams, created field position. I thought we did a great job of that the other day as well, which we'll need to continue.
I noticed you always kind of go out on the field and, you know, tend to them a little bit. Just kind of wondering, you know, sort of what do you hope to deliver? What kind of message do you hope to deliver to a guy that's hurt out there? And has that always been the case that you've done that?
I mean, we spend a lot of time with these guys. I think that, you know, like I tell the team, you know, when I first got the opportunity to do this and be a coach or a head coach, you know, you want to try to make, you know, make it as close to a family atmosphere as you can, which, you know, there's always issues within families. There's arguments, there's disagreements. Everybody's different. We respect everybody's own personality. But I think in the end, you try to come together for a common goal. And so we do spend a lot of time with these guys, and you never like to see anybody injured, you know. So I think that's part of my job, is to go out there and make sure that, you know, guys know that we care about them, other than just, you know, a pair of shoulder pads and a helmet.
What's your expectation for Ryan Izzo coming in to the tight end room at this late juncture?
Expectation is to do everything he can to be ready to play in a football game, and when he blocks, finish longer than the guy with the ball, and when we throw it to him, you know, catch it.
You got Zay on the back, and now there's obviously a lot of depth at that position. What's the competition like? What's the challenge in trying to find a role for all those guys?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of decisions that we'll have to make, and that's a good thing. You know, there were weeks where we had ruled seven players out, and we were bringing guys from the practice squad to get healthy 48 guys to the roster. So, you know, that's not a, you know, something that should come as a surprise to anybody. We talked about that this morning, you know, in the squad meeting, and, you know, their preparation, how they practice, and really the roles that they can play for us on Sunday go into making those decisions.
What's your assessment?
At every position, Jim.
What's your assessment on how you know, Jenkins has kind of turned things around? It seemed like, you know, he's stacked some pretty good games. How would you assess his play, like what he's put on film recently?
Well, I mean, Rabbit, he was one of those performers. He got it. We recognized him with the game ball, and it has been really good to see him challenge and be productive. And obviously, we touched on the interception a couple weeks ago. I felt he was very good technically the other day. Thought he tackled well when we asked him to tackle. So a lot more of that would be great this week. Have a great day, guys.
Wow, that was quick. A little bit earlier than I thought. There you go, head coach Mike Vrabel talking to the media, and that was sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance. You can call them at 615-663-6040. Anything jump out at you?
Well, let's hit the headline. Derrick Henry has been designated to return. And just in listening to Mike Vrabel, you knew he wasn't just going to play all of his cards today. But the impression that I got, I could be way off base. This is just me trying to read the tea leaves.
Winning cures all? Winning cures everything?
Nope. It had nothing to do with Derek. I'm talking about his answers to several Derrick Henry questions. And you could tell after it got to a certain point, he was kind of like sending the hints out. Please stop asking me about this. I've said what I'm going to say. But they, in my mind, if you listen to all of the reports the last several weeks and then today's move, they have been charting this out for the last couple weeks. They have been working towards this date to activate him. And it has stayed on schedule, best I can tell. Now, what we don't know is, have they been plotting out that he would return this week and play this week? Or is this a, let's see where he is when we see him in practices with the guys, and then we'll decide. But my impression is, and again, I could be completely off base on this, and you'll laugh at me on Sunday. I think they've been working to this date to activate him. Today was the first thing, designate him to return. Activate him on Sunday and play him in the game. That's just my thought. I'm just trying to read into what he's saying. Mike Vrabel is not going to tell us that. Maybe he'll tell us on Friday. I don't know. But
Rossini reported as a long shot that he plays.
Well, like I said, I could be way off base. But I just think that they've had a very regimented schedule here on how they've thought that this is going to track. And once again, I'm not a doctor. I don't look at the medical reports or anything like that. But I just have a good feeling that they, whatever their plan is, the plan has been in place for a long time. And I think they feel pretty good about where it is right now. It's tenuous because you just don't know what's going to happen. There could be a setback at any point. And that's the tricky thing. But I like how he handled that. This is really good news, right? On November 1st, we got this news. We'd have taken this 10 sure. times out of 10.
Yep.
10 times of all the scenarios, you take this, regardless of what they choose to do on Sunday.
We'll come back and discuss more. We should have now Elijah Molden, I think, now more at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to him. But first, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
Okay, let me tell you about Loan Pronto. It is 2022, and just like the message in 2021, Loan Pronto wants you to know that you have absolutely great options right now to get your finances in order for 2022. Great options. Got brand new messages for you. And it's really not that different because for the new year, if you need cash out of your home's equity, your home's value is up, and the mortgage rates are so low that you have the ability to get cash with a super fast, no-cost refi from Loan Pronto. Home values are skyrocketing. Take advantage of that fact and call Loan Pronto now. They can fast-track your home refi, get you a check for thousands of dollars, and if you call now, Loan Pronto can even pay your closing costs. And you walk away with a check that you can use now to your advantage. Maybe it's to pay off some credit card bills that have gotten a little high, get those out of the way, or consolidate other loans, get rid of PMI charges, get your finances in great shape for 2022. Maybe it's something you want to do to upgrade and reinvest in your home. Get that new kitchen or bathroom that you've been dreaming about to add more value to your home. Access that equity while the rates are really low. It can work to your advantage. Call Loan Pronto now, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go online at loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Should have Elijah Molden at the bottom of the hour. I did see this last night. And Elijah, I saw his tweet as well today, and he is just like over the top excited. So I do need to find out a little bit more. And I think it was coming from his agent last night saying that Ryan Izzo, the tight end, I think he played at Florida State, has been signed to the Titans active roster. I think it was his agent that I saw that on Twitter last night. And then Elijah Campbell, our own Elijah Campbell at our Hillside Medical Game Studio, Willie just tweeted out like, heck yeah, this is awesome. So we need to find out, we need to investigate and look into this a little bit more. So Elijah, why are you over the top about Ryan Izzo?
This is a little tongue-in-cheek, because in that tweet, it leads off with Derrick Henry comes back from IR, and then below it says, the Titans also signed Ryan Izzo. So it was me being like, oh, yeah, they signed Ryan Izzo, and burying the lead of Derrick Henry.
Oh, you were responding to the game's tweet.
Yeah, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, more so. No offense to Ryan Izzo. But
okay, I thought there was like, did I miss something on Elijah? Does Elijah know Ryan Izzo?
I own just an obnoxious amount of stock in Ryan Izzo that no one else on the planet besides his family owns.
Well, you know, there are some that really do deep dives into the talent pool each year for the draft, and so they remember doing the scouting reports. I'd be interested in hearing what Teron or somebody like that has to say about Ryan Izzo. But I do think it was something we were wondering on Monday, knowing that Michael Pruitt was going to be out. And, you know, the Titans are a team. They have a formula that is successful for them. And it involves, I mean, they don't have Travis Kelce. They don't have Jonnu Smith. What they have, though, are three, they rotate three tight ends. It was Pruitt, Swaim, and Firkser. Firkser is the pass-catching tight end, even though he really hasn't been. He's shown some signs of life the last couple of weeks. He's made some strides. Swaim can catch a pass here and there. Pruitt could catch a pass here and there, but basically those are the guys that block. They give you the extra pass blockers. They grade, they help open up those holes for the running backs. So Ryan Izzo, I think they hope to plug in there in Michael Pruitt's role. He is a big, big guy. He is not a great pass catcher. He's caught a few passes here and there. It looks kind of similar to what Michael Pruitt was as a pass catcher. I don't know what he's like in the red zone, but Michael Pruitt could catch a touchdown down by the goal line on occasion. But Ryan Izzo is, what, 6'5", 255? He's a big dude. So he's going to be the Michael Pruitt. Now, how quickly can he learn what it is that they're doing? The Patriots saw something in him. You know, again, I'm not saying he's going to go out and catch a bunch of passes, but if he can reasonably give you what Pruitt gave you, that's what you're looking for. And, of course, the question is always, why is he sitting here in January not on a roster?
Right. Well,
you know, But that's what you could have said about
so was Dante Foreman. Right.
Yeah,
that's
all these guys that they seem to be able to pull out and plug in and get something from.
I mean, you could do worse in the spot that they're
in.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because we really haven't spent any time on the Michael Pruitt injury, other than we've already established, we talked on Monday. There's it was cringeworthy, and that's like a minute you saw it, it was like, oh my gosh.
Ooh, yeah.
For somebody like me, it's like, I can't take that stuff. Like, I have to turn. I was thankful CBS did not make a big deal about it, and CBS went to commercial. All that being said, we already talked about that part. But what about on the field, like what he means to this team? I'm not going to, pretend like Michael Pruitt is, Travis Kelce. He's just a poor man's Travis Kelce, or he's George Kittle's like. Like, he's not. We know that. But I do think there is – this could be – I don't want to say significant, maybe extreme, but I do think this is a loss. Like, I like what he brings to the table. I like his toughness. I like his attitude. Yes. That's yes. the part that I Team really, guy. Really like. It, he is – man, he is a guy that, you know, doesn't take any crap. I like, you know – the moxie that he's bringing to the team. And I know it's not like it's just Michael Pruitt and he's getting everybody else up. I'm just saying, I like what he brought. I mean, what a find, what a luxury that they had all season with a guy that was also on the street, right?
Yes.
Now a guy that they had familiarity with, but he was on the street. The 49ers cut him and released him. And he's just out there for anybody to take. So I do think there isn't what, do you know where I'm going with this? Like, I do think that is a little bit of a loss for this team.
Yes. Tell me what you think, Darren. I see a lot of parallels between the makeup of the Titans and the makeup of the Predators. Expectations going into the season were different for the two teams. Titans were going in. They were going for it. Predators, competitive transition. We can, you know. But when you watch these two teams play, I see some parallels in the pack mentality. They back each other up. They believe in one another. They strive to be a tough team. A team that, like you said, doesn't take any garbage from the other team. They'll stand up. You're going to see it. I like watching them play, both of them, for that reason. It's a fun team to get behind, both the Titans and the Predators, for that reason. You love the camaraderie and the togetherness. And Michael Pruitt, I think, is a good example. You said it. When he went down, Mike Vrabel was sprinting out there. You know, the whole team was kind of right. They knew it was bad right away. You don't do that if it's a guy you just don't care about or if you're not a tight-knit team. I mean, always the coach comes out there, but you can just see it, right? There's a care. They've got a real chemistry on this team. And, you know, you hope a guy like Izzo comes in and can plug in. They've been doing it all year. What are they up to now? 90 players? Are they over 90 now? Are we in the 90s?
It doesn't matter. They've already broken the NFL
they've
record.
They've shattered
so
the record.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
But I think they can plug these guys in, just like you saw the Predators before Christmas bring up several guys, a couple of guys that the casual fan had never heard of, and they go in and play a role, and it's a form. They have the formula to succeed, and they're able to build off of that when they have to change the parts here and there. But you got to have the right makeup. And that's why, you know, they have a lot of overachievers that are on the street, but they look for a certain element, an ingredient from these guys when they bring them in. And it's that team thing. I admire that.
What did you make of the Bud Dupree answer by Mike Vrabel?
I guess predictable. That's sort of the stock answer you hear from coaches all the time on stuff like this. I guess I was looking for any clues that he wouldn't be at practice for any reason. So it doesn't look like he's going to be affected in the short term here. Like, he's going to be out there. He's going to be playing, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's – by the way, to your point you were saying earlier, you mean whenever he says, does anybody have a question about the Texans? You mean that was his yeah. it's move like, on?
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't storm off like he did on the Zach Cunningham thing. But you could kind of say he was setting the table like, please stop asking about Derek. You know, I'm not – did you think it was interesting Teron asked about the playing surface? We brought that up earlier in the week, and he kind of stayed away from it. He said there's a lot of factors. But I do wonder, though, if that's on the list. If you're putting a pad of paper together on one side of the pad, you say, here's reasons why we should play Derek. On the other side of the pad, here's reasons why we shouldn't. I wonder if the playing surface is on that list somewhere. He didn't say it wasn't on the list.
Yeah,
he just stayed away from the answer. Do you think? Or am I reading too much into it?
I think it – I don't know. I didn't know this was a thing. I really didn't.
I didn't either.
Somebody on
Will
our text
Carroll
line,
was the one that said it the day that we talked to him. He said there's been talk about the playing surface in Indianapolis, specifically at that stadium. But, of course, this game is not in Indy. This is in Houston. But it is the same type of surface, artificial versus – and Toronto was very specific with the question, natural grass versus – artificial surface. And in theory, if you waited and you had the number one seed, Derrick Henry could play all of the games. Where's the Super Bowl? Is it on natural grass or turf?
It's LA.
I can't even remember about
that. LA, yeah, it's turf.
So that's artificial. But you could avoid having him play on the artificial surface until that game. That would be a great problem to have if you got that far.
I don't believe SoFi's got the sliding grass like Glendale. You've
right.
seen the sliding grass. You
I have
there.
I
In fact, you'll see it Saturday.
I'll be there tomorrow. Yeah. I'll take a picture.
Well, you won't be there tomorrow. Friday.
No, I'm sorry. Friday. Yeah. Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
I've lost. The days start running together here.
But I just thought that was kind of a. Right. And by the way, this.
You can't leave the hotel. Although we have been cleared, you can go out and jog. You can go out for a walk and get out in nature as long as you don't gather. That we have been clear for that. So I will be getting outside today for the first time in about 3 days.
Not so much for you. But probably other members on your crew, like being locked up in Vegas, like that's just not, like, that's like torture. That's got to be
funny.
Torture.
Lindsey Riley was just happened to get on the elevator with Yakov Trenin heading to the arena yesterday. And Yakov says, you know what? This is my first time in Vegas. And she was like, oh man, what a bummer. You know, you come to Vegas for the first time and all you can do is look out the window at all of the craziness. And it did seem a little calmer in Vegas than the previous times I've been. I didn't see as many people out and about. It was actually pretty cold outside. I don't know what's going on inside the casinos and stuff. They had a really good crowd at the game last night. It was loud as ever, and it was 17,800 or whatever. But imagine coming to Vegas, first time in your life, and you can't leave the hotel. You can't experience anything walking down the strip, going into a casino, just to see, even if you didn't want to gamble, just to see what the vibe is like. Like, this is what everybody talks about.
Shows and stuff.
Go to see a show.
Tons to do.
Yeah. Can't do anything.
Yeah, that stinks. By the way, this is the first time they played each other since October of 2019, I believe.
Yeah. The first time in Vegas. Yeah. It'd been a long time.
Been a long time. I mean, that's over 2 years. I mean, obviously, we know last year with the reconfigured divisions and. You know, it was – and, you know, it's weird getting back to late games again. I mean, I know there was that Vancouver one-off earlier this year, but, we've been out of the habit of late games, right? Our body clocks have been Central and Eastern time zone games, and so we haven't had any – and I know there was, I guess, Calgary and Edmonton before the Vancouver game, which were, Mountain Time, right? So – but it's been a while since we've got into, to last night, 9 o'clock start. Tomorrow night, 9:30 start. And I think Vancouver's typically, 9 or 9:30? They usually have the later start. Mm-hmm. Is the later start tomorrow because of the traffic?
Good question. I don't know. It's not even called the Staples Center anymore.
I
don't even know what it's called.
January 1, didn't it? Didn't it just change or no?
I don't know.
It's not the Staples Center.
Nope.
I think it just changed over.
The tail end of last year was when it changed over.
The tail end of...
So like December, like late December. It's only been crypto.com.
December of 2021.
Arena. Yes, correct.
Okay, so it just changed over.
And what's it called now?
Crypto.com.
Sure.
Crypto.
Arena.
Okay. Kryptonite.
Stupid.
Superman. Okay.
Hate it. Disgusting.
Crypto.
Sell out.
Oh boy,
Chase, who is playing suit today, said that the Vegas, I guess, where the Raiders play, because he's been there, they have the same setup as Glendale.
Yeah,
they got the sliding grass, but SoFi's turf.
I had a good view of that stadium from my window in Vegas. Didn't go see it, but. Last time I was in Vegas, it was under construction. It looks really nice from a distance there. Vegas is a big league market now. Two teams. Maybe they'll end up at three before it's all over.
It's not maybe. It'll be four before it's all said and done. And that it'll be sooner rather than later. It won't take long. I suspect baseball is coming.
Yeah, the A's situation is intriguing. That's the one that if they keep working at it and they build a park, they could get it. I think if they have the right people moving it.
Do you think diehard Raider, people that grew up in Oakland, or that area, who are diehard Raiders and A's fans, if the A's move to Vegas, you think they'll just pick up and like leave and just move to Vegas to follow their teams?
You could. I don't know. But, you know what's interesting? Remember we were commenting, I think it was a Monday night game, right? The first meeting between the Chargers and the Raiders. You have the San Diego Chargers that are now in L.A. You have the Raiders who were in Oakland, but before that they were in L.A. Mm-hmm. So the fan base was really a strange mix. But now you have – they're going to be playing in Vegas, right, this weekend. What's the makeup of that crowd? I guess the Chargers at the end of the day just don't have that many fans. But that's a really interesting matchup based on the history of the two teams in what looks like it's going to be winner is in, loser is out. That's going to be a fun game.
Yep. I suspect the Chargers fan base will start growing because it looks like they have found that franchise-type quarterback. And, you know, that typically can grow a fan base because if you've got that guy, which everybody's looking for, you know, and Adam Kaplan brought that up, and he was in the camp of me and a lot of others, like, you know, Justin Herbert, eh. And he's like, I was wrong. He's like, Justin Herbert's been, you know, way better than anybody thought. He's like, you know, drafting Tua over Justin Herbert, hindsight. Once again, play hindsight GM, hindsight sports talk radio host. It's real easy to be smart once we've learned and we've seen everything play out. But, you know, when you have that guy, I mean, typically you're going to be good year in and year out, right? I mean, you just got to be – you got to be – you don't have to be perfect as the GM, but, you know, you just don't have to be an absolute disaster. Like, you know, Ryan Grigson in Indianapolis. Is that his name? In Indianapolis? I mean, he was just awful. Like, just don't be awful. Just don't be a dumpster fire. So the point is they're probably going to be good year in and year out when you have that type of quarterback. So my guess is they'll start establishing their fan base. But, yeah, but they've had a hard time.
I agree. But this is an interesting game because what Herbert hasn't done yet, he's got the good stats, and he's talented. He flashes. You're like, wow, this guy is something. But you got to win these big games. And this is a big one coming up on Sunday, needless to say. So if they were to lose and they miss out on the playoffs, it's still kind of like, man, we lost. And we got Justin Herbert supposed to be our guy. You just like Joe Burrow, he got him that big win on Sunday. He has come up with some money wins. That's what they need if you're Herbert. That's the next step for him.
Yep. I think we've got Elijah Molden on the line with us. Third-round pick by the Titans in last year's draft. Now joins us. Elijah, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Just getting ready for practice here in about 30 minutes. But, yeah, I'm doing well.
How cool is it to have your rookie season and to be in this position and be on a team that's this successful?
Man, just really grateful. Like, it's hard to win in this league, and even my dad, in 8 years, he only made it to the playoffs one time, and he only played one game in the playoffs. So here I am going to the playoffs, and you know, it's like I said, it's tough to win in this league, and being on, you know, a good defense and a good team. I've had a lot of fun.
So what was the reaction? Because your game was done. You take care of business. You beat Miami. You know you've won the division. So they're celebrating there. We saw the videos. You guys were celebrating, and everybody was excited about winning, you know, back-to-back division titles. So you knew all that. You've punched your ticket in the playoffs. But then you find out the Bengals take care of business and beat Kansas City, and, oh, there's a bigger picture in mind. Now we have the opportunity to be the number one seed and do everything. In other words, the road of the AFC runs through Nashville. What was that like when you learned of the score?
Yeah, of course we were all excited, you know, so props to Cincinnati. But we also knew that, like, you know, business isn't done yet. We have one more week, and we got to take care of business down in Houston before we can really celebrate, you know. So definitely something to look forward to, but we're going to delay the celebration just a little bit longer.
You're the perfect guy to ask because you're just transitioning, right? You're just beginning your NFL career. And I realize everybody, this is new playing 17 regular season games.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're fresh off a college football schedule, right, where you were basically used to 12 games and then probably a bowl game. Unless you made it to – I don't know, were you on the Washington team? Did you guys play in the Pac-12 championship? I don't remember –
Last year, I only played 4 games last year.
Not last year, but when you were at Washington, were you ever in the the Pac-12 championship game?
Yeah, twice.
So I guess you were kind of close to playing this many games, but is it different? I mean, playing, is your body feel different playing this many?
Yeah, I mean, of course, because it's not, like, you got to think for young guys too, like preseason. You know, I'm playing those preseason games too, so 17
turns into
20 pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then obviously guys are bigger and stronger here. So, yeah, I've learned a lot from the vets, and I'm already pretty disciplined when it comes to taking care of my body. So just kind of, you know, learning as I go and doing little things day in and day out.
In talking to young guys beginning their careers over the years, you know, everybody kind of says the same thing, Elijah, that, you know, the more you play, the more time you log, the more games you play, the more minutes you're out there, things start slowing down. You know, looking at your numbers, you know, as the season has progressed, I mean, you know, your number, everything looks like things are slowing down for you. I mean, people are really starting to, you're grabbing people's attention, saying this, Elijah Molden, you know, his stats, look at his numbers as the course of the season has gone along. Mm-hmm. So to me, that seems like the game is slowing down for you, even in your rookie year. Would you subscribe to that? Do you believe that?
Yeah, I feel like it has, and even in college too, throughout the course of the season, and then if you take a step back, like the course of my career, I will get better every week. And I think that just goes to, you know, not making the same mistake twice. So, yeah, early on I definitely had my fair share of mistakes, and now it's kind of like I've failed my way to some success here. So right now I'm just focusing on doing my role and helping out the team any way I can.
You've been around the game your whole life, and so you as a player, you know, you've seen this stuff throughout your career, I'm sure. And then when you have something like Sunday with Michael Pruitt, you know, even watching it, for somebody like me, like, it's cringeworthy for me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. But I'm also – I see a needle or blood, and I cringe. So I'm not the perfect guy to ask. But you're around this, and you see – is it – what is it like as a player whenever you have a teammate go down with a – you know, a really bad injury where they have to be carted off? What's that like? How's it like trying to get through the rest of the game kind of with that on the back of your mind?
Yeah, obviously that situation was horrible. And you know, I think, you know, all you can do is just pray for him and pick him up, send him texts and all that stuff. But, you know, throughout a game, you're so locked into the game, and then something like that happens, and it kind of pulls you out of, into the flow of the game and back into reality. You know, and that's when we said our prayers for him, and then really it's like, as soon as you can, you have to just, you know, flush it, and we'll come back to it after the game, just because, you know, if you play afraid of injury, then the chances are it's going to happen to you. So it's a crazy situation, and, you know, all we can do is just wish him the best.
How's he doing, by the way?
I've just heard that he's doing well from the team.
Good.
Just from Coach Vrabel. So.
Good. Something else, and then I'll turn things over to Willie, that has been brought up this week. In fact, your coach was asked about it today, and I don't think for two, you know, older guys, how about that? I'm going to say aging older guys like myself and Willie, who've been around this for a while. You know, if we were talking about the 80s or even the 90s maybe a little bit, you know, the turf was brought up a lot, Elijah, because it was crap.
I mean, yeah.
Your dad can probably talk about that.
Yeah,
it was carpet on a parking lot. I mean, it was crap. And I kind of felt like with today's, you know, technology and these beautiful stadiums, like, that, I thought that whole storyline had gone away. But yet people are bringing up, you know, still that turf, the turf situation. Is that something you've played in Indy? That's where Derek got hurt. You've played at SoFi where the Super Bowl is going to be. Is that something you as players, you guys talk about the turf? I didn't know it was still an issue in today's game.
I mean, we're aware of it. You know, I always think for young guys, or, I mean, for older guys, it might, you know, be a little more, you know, be a little extra on your joints and stuff. You might be a little more sore after the game, but also you're able to, you know, make cuts faster and that type of stuff, and really, like, just whatever stadium we're playing in, you have to take into consideration the grass that's out there, there's some games where you have to be extra mindful of your footing, or else you'll slip. You know, kind of like our stadium. So, I think it's just a part of the game. You got to adapt to it.
We're talking to Titans rookie defensive back Elijah Molden here on the show. And Elijah, you've played football your whole life, as we've referred a couple of times on this interview. Your dad played for a long time. So when you play for different teams, you get, you know, in different sports. I know you played a couple of different sports growing up. You're on teams that have good chemistry. You've probably been on some teams mm-hmm. that haven't had great chemistry. What I notice about your team right now is you guys have been through so much with the guys coming in, going out of the lineup, but there seems to be a really solid foundation of just a team concept. Whoever comes in is going to fill a role. Do you feel that same way?
Yeah, I feel like that's not an accident. You know, the first time I stepped foot in this, you know, in this facility, this team, it's all about the, you know, foundational values like effort and finish and you know, knowing what you're supposed to do and then doing it fast. So, you know, that put together with some high character guys, I think, you know, it's not a surprise that, like you said, we have some chemistry.
Little by little, you guys are starting to get some of the key pieces back one by one. Of course, we're all excited about what could be on the horizon with Derrick Henry. But do you think going through this adversity has actually made you guys even stronger as a team?
No doubt. I think it's all about, you know, peaking at the right time towards the end of the season, because, you know, we're far from finished. And, you know, the games only get more difficult as the season progresses. So, yeah, I think hard times make hard people and hard teams.
Last thing for you, Elijah, you talked about this a little bit, but I want to get you to go in a little more detail. When you come into the league, you know they're going to test you, right, especially as a defensive back. Tell me about the mentality, and maybe this goes back a ways, just how you were taught to play the game, but you know you're going to be thrown into the fire, and you're going to have some mistakes, and they're going to come after you. They're going to say, let's see if Molden can handle himself. What were those first few weeks like for you going through that process? Because it seems like you've made a lot of improvements each week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was tough. Like, you, especially in college, like, I never got thrown deep like that in college, and then boom, first two games, sure enough. So, you know, it was tough, but when I was in the situation, I knew that it would be good for me. I knew that I would grow a lot from it, even when it was really hard. So now looking back, like, I'm thankful that happened. I think it was the best thing that could happen to my career. And it really, you know, kind of kickstarted me into finding a rhythm and gaining confidence. And I'm sure even after the season, I'm going to look at this past year and you'll just know that I have a lot of work to get done.
By the way, as we wrap this up, I wanted to ask you this because I thought about it on Sunday. How crazy is it trying to recover a fumble in the NFL when there's bodies flopping around all over the place? And you came out on top Sunday?
Yeah, especially that game. Like, I dove in there. I had time to get up. And then I didn't realize right after I dove on it, there was a Dolphins player who was just like a split second from getting it.
Yeah.
So I've always thought that I was like kind of the smaller, scrappier guy who can kind of like wiggle my way in there. So.
Well, it played out on Sunday. Hey, thanks for doing this. Go get them. And get that number one seed, and best of luck the rest of the way. Thanks for doing this.
Yes, sir, of course. Thank you very much. Take care. Right.
That is Elijah Molden. He has really come on here late in the season. And, yeah, when you look at his numbers, you know, and the grades and all that stuff, whether you believe in that or not, look, it's just another tool. It's just another gauge. He really grades out well throughout as the season has progressed.
He's improved.
Yep, a lot. A lot. So, and hopefully he'll continue just to get better and better. I mean, he was one of those draft picks, right, where everybody was high on. Everybody was talking about the third round pick by the Titans, like, oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That could be a steal. That is a good one. All right, we'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Back here on the DDC, special thanks to Elijah Molden. Good stuff from him. Really enjoyed that. You know
excellent.
What I did? You know what I did yesterday that I caught myself? I've done it a couple of times. because it's still available, but they do have something up there that's it says, let's see, just to make it official. Sports are heading to USA Network beginning January 1st, 2022. I've gone to NBC Sports Network. It's still like it's still there on the program guide.
Yeah.
So is it just completely off the like it's off the grid, right? It's gone bye-bye.
I heard that that was going to be the case. I haven't done what you did to try to actually tune into that channel. I haven't had reason to do that much lately anyway, since the hockey games aren't on there anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, you know.
Is it a black hole, or is there something that comes on the screen when you go to that channel?
It's well, that's a good question, because
do
I did
have a test
that
pattern, or do you get the rainbow across your screen?
Let's see. We've done it.
Sports, or is there something that comes on?
We've moved to another venue.
Yeah.
Your favorite sports are now on USA and CNBC. So they've got a picture right now of like a flag pin on the golf course. Now a switch. Now it's a soccer field. So they're just, I guess they're just showing different sports venues, because it says they've moved to another venue. Let's see what's next. So we've got a soccer stadium. First it was golf, then a soccer stadium. Let's see if it switches here and what we get. I guess what my question is, if you've moved and this has gone bye-bye, then why don't you just make it go bye-bye on the program grid? We've moved to Churchill Downs. So we're at a horse track now. I don't know. But that's what you get when you turn to it. I did it. I don't know why. Okay. I don't know what I was looking for. I forgot. And I clearly wasn't paying attention. I just went to it. And then I was like, oh, yeah. By the way, I did see this. The Winter Classic ratings. Did you see this?
No.
Not good. And I watched.
The league got a little bit criticized because they had other NHL games on and playing while that game was going on. You would think that that game should be featured in its own window. I also wonder what factor it is playing at night as opposed to in the middle of the day in terms of ratings. I'm
lowest
not sure.
Rated Winter Classic so far.
Wow, lowest.
No, that's what I saw on.
It was a great visual too. It's crazy to watch.
Sports Media Watch. Sports Media Watch on Twitter.
Not good.
Is that the first one at night? Winter Classic.
No.
I had a couple people ask me that.
That a couple at night, I think.
Not the Stadium Series. The Winter Classic.
I think there's been a couple at night.
Okay,
Pittsburgh? I think there's one in Pittsburgh that was at night. Pittsburgh against Washington.
Well, the reason that I said I didn't believe so is because I thought they always played the Winter Classic day in the day. Or the Winter Classic.
Most of the time they do. I think there have been one or two exceptions, and I don't know why they did it that way. But
so I don't ever remember a night game Winter Classic.
Also, remember though, when you say it's the lowest rated ever, it's on TNT as opposed to NBC. So there's less households. That does make a difference in the ratings.
Fair point. That makes a huge difference. I mean, TNT,
games are always lower rated on TNT than a network like NBC.
Sure, of course.
So that's a factor. So I feel a little bit better about that now, thinking about that.
Well, I do, because I was getting hit with those questions of, I thought it was a standalone game. I thought they always played it during the day, you know, and it was
I don't know. I do think that they need to make it the only thing going on at that time. I think having games in the afternoon and then having that be the only game on, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think the Maple Leafs were playing while that was going on. There were games after the Winter Classic, which I also think was okay. But in that time window, that should be the only game.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, we will transition to the Predators after their big 3-2 win over Vegas. We'll bring in Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy, as he was in the booth with you last night. So we'll talk to Hal to begin the fourth.
Outstanding job.
He did.
In relief.
He did. So did Pete Weber. I mean, it was outstanding job all around last night on television and radio for the Preds game. We'll come back, start the final hour with him next.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.